All right, welcome everybody to today's virtual roundtable. This is KM's quarterly discussion with a focus on ILTACON and the peer share around it. Today we are actually recording this conversation in hopes to share it with members that can't be with us today. So if I happen to mute you at any point, it's only because you have some background noise and you have the full capability of coming off of mute when you are ready to contribute. So a few things, if you are dialed in by phone, please remember that muting is used by #6 and *6. And if you're through the desktop, then you have the ability of doing it with the little mic that's next to your name, as well as on the toolbar that you should find at the bottom of your screen. If you are using the desktop client, you also have the ability to use the chat feature. So if you have any questions or comments, please feel free to throw them in there as well. And just because we do have one or two slides here, we do want everybody to participate and contribute. This is definitely, as we mentioned, a peer share today. We want to hear everybody's feedback. We just have Amy and Gwen with us to help us guide that conversation, along with some other KM Quarterly Roundtable team members that we've had in the past. So I will hand it over to Gwen and Amy.
Thanks, Nicole. This is Gwen McAlpin, and I'm the Director of Knowledge Management Services at Perkins Coie. And with me is Amy Monahan, who's Practice Innovations Manager, also at Perkins Coie. And we're both part of the Knowledge Management Quarterly Roundtable group that gets together and comes up with topics for these roundtables. But as Nicole said, this is an open forum for discussion. So please make sure you know where your mute button is so you can come off mute and join the conversation. So today we're going to, for this third quarter roundtable, we're going to talk about ILTACON and takeaways from ILTACON. It's a the conference just happened in August. Thousands of people attend the conference, but that really only represents a small percentage of the ILTA membership. So obviously, there's going to be a lot of you on the phone who were not able to talk to or attend ILTACON and are looking to your peers to share some of the key takeaways that you learned there. Let's see. So Amy, let's start with the keynotes. Yes. The Monday keynote is one that I have heard a lot of buzz about, and it was recorded. So if you did not see it, I do encourage you to find that recording and listen to it. It was called Kill the Company with Lisa Bodell. And she's written a book called Kill the Company, as well as some other books on similar topics. But it was really on, you know, how to kind of look at the way you work, and if the way that you're working is kind of hindering innovation or hindering, you know, really sort of effectiveness in your role. And I'll just add on this one that at my firm, we sent quite a few people to ILTACON, and we all write up our takeaways. I thought it was interesting that every single person in their takeaways mentioned this keynote as being something that they thought a lot about and got a lot of interesting ideas from.
Yeah, it's definitely included in my takeaways. I thought it was a very good keynote. Lisa Bodell was very engaging, but she also had some really good takeaways that I hope that we address and look at our firm, and I'd like to hear from others as well what you took away from that keynote. But the big ones were have a cut the crap committee, kill a stupid rule, and it focus on doing more qualitative work rather than more quantitative work and doing more thinking, which I think is a really important takeaway, because a lot of us spend a lot of time doing and not enough time thinking. So I know personally that's something that I've been thinking about trying to implement more in my day-to-day work.
She put up an interesting slide that, you know, seemed to garner a lot of reaction from the audience on some studies that they had done on how much time executives spend on in meetings and then on email. And those two categories together totaled, I don't know, some staggering amount, over 75% of the hours in the work week. And, you know, they kind of went through some of the other categories of work that people were doing and realized that the people they were talking to really only had, you know, a very small number of hours in the week to actually do work that wasn't somehow encompassed in the meetings or the email.
Right. And you also, I mean, you think about legal in particular, I think we're just consumed with with meetings and email, and you look at how our attorneys work, and a lot of times, you know, if you're getting email from your partners, it's usually pretty late at night. So you can tell that our attorneys are also suffering from this as well. They're spending the majority of their daytime hours facilitating email meetings, conversations with clients, and then they're spending, you know, their quote unquote free time and off hours actually doing work.
I also thought the phone have any takeaways that they want to share from this session?
I think you captured it beautifully. Those were the exact things that I made a note of. This is Kathy Ballantyne, by the way. Particularly, think more, do less.
Mm-hmm.
We don't spend enough time thinking about what we're going to be doing because we're just chasing
deadlines. Or yeah, what do I have to get done for this next meeting?
Right. So
I thought that was great advice.
Right. What did people think about her strategy of getting together and thinking about how you would kill your company? So if you were a competitor, how would you strategize killing your own company? What are your weaknesses and what are you going to do about that?
That's a hard one.
And obviously, we don't want to expose our weaknesses to our competitors on the phone. But as a concept, I thought that was a really interesting concept. You know, I think most of us are familiar with SWOT analyses. I know we are, and that seems to align pretty nicely with, you know, looking at your threats and your opportunities. But it's a different way of framing that in that think how our competitors would think if they wanted to come in and just completely demolish us.
So if you were not at IltaCon, I would highly recommend finding the recording and listening to the keynote. It was fabulous, and I think, as you can tell, made an impression on a lot of people. I've also started reading her book, Kill the Company, which goes into more detail on some of these themes, and she's a very engaging writer.
Actually, Gwen, this is Jennifer. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I was about to say the opposite. So I found the... her talk very engaging, and I was disappointed by the book. I didn't find it really added much more to what she said. Mm-hmm. The ideas that she expressed in the keynote were very interesting and were things people could do. But I was disappointed in the book. I found it very repetitious and like
I sort of find business manager books kind of like that anyway, but
yeah, maybe you're not there yet. But
and her style, her presentation style was very good, and the way that she engaged the audience, there was quite a bit of audience participation in that as well.
Yeah, I think she's probably excellent at running these workshops and getting people to. Kind of crawl out of your shell and participate. But in terms of a book, particularly one to inspire innovation, it wouldn't be at the top of my recommendation.
That's good critical feedback.
Right.
Sorry to be a downer.
The Tuesday keynote took a little bit of a different approach. Rather than having a single, you know, kind of dynamic keynote speaker, it was a panel discussion. It was called Crossing Intersections, Dramatic Shifts in Legal Services. This one was not recorded, I don't believe. And the panel discussion included, you know, this diversity of perspectives with a couple of people from law firms, a professor, and a client. So they had different, they had different viewpoints on where the legal industry was going, you know, kind of based on the perspective they were framing it from. But I know that, you know, in particular, the client perspective is a woman from Starbucks. I know a lot of people thought that was really interesting to hear directly from a client on what it was that they wanted. From law firms, and you know, and she was kind of talking about just the volume of work that she's managing and data, and that she just needs to be able to, you know, work more efficiently with her law firms.
Yeah, it was really interesting to hear from the client perspective, and I thought that she had very good specific feedback and input on what she cares about and what she wants her firms to care about.
I'd also like to point out that I was really happy that it was a she.
Yeah. I was too.
Yes.
No, they did a good job on putting together that panel with kind of a mix of viewpoints. The professor was Professor Linna from Northwestern, and you know he's been doing a lot of work around kind of preparing law students for you know a world where legal technology and innovation are relevant. So it was kind of interesting to hear that perspective as well with preparing future legal technologists.
So the Wednesday keynote, unfortunately, Gwen and I could not attend. So we really need to hear from folks on the call about the Wednesday keynote. You know, we did hear that it was good. We got good feedback, especially the story format and providing inspiration on how to think about storytelling in your work. So is there anyone on the phone who would like to share their takeaways from the Wednesday keynote?
Can you tell me again what the title of that one was?
Oh, it was Leading Innovation, Stories of Perspective, Persistence, and Patience.
Oh, I missed that one.
And there were different people who introduced innovation into their organization, and they shared stories. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of the way in which they, I believe, this is obviously, as we said, we weren't there, but this is, you know, kind of how they could convey the culture and gain buy-in and so on, like sort of inspire people to what they, to moving towards innovation rather than just saying, you know, it's important, we're going to do it.
Right. I'm afraid of, do you know if that one was recorded?
I don't believe it was. I didn't see it in my quick glance at the recordings.
Okay. Yeah, I missed that one.
Yeah. Anyone on the phone attend that one and want to share with the audience your takeaways? All right. Well, then we'll move on to, so it was just the three keynotes. Then new this year, we're going to move on to the KM track, which was new this year for ILTACON. We've heard feedback in the past that, you know, with the number of sessions at ILTACON, it's great because there's a lot of, you know, there's something for everyone, but it's also overwhelming. So this year, ILTA published tracks for some, you know, people in different interest groups to suggest for them sessions that might be of interest to that group. And there were also a number of sessions that were kind of teed up in series. So there may have been, you know, three or four sessions that were kind of, you know, different takes on a related topic. So for the KM track, the sessions included serving up tools clients really want. And Amy was a panelist on that. If you build it, will they communicate? Driving social collaboration. New frontiers in enterprise search. How to make a smart choice for law firm experience management. How knowledge management is achieving its goals in a security-centric world. And I spoke on that one. And succeeding with document automation. So let me just ask the people who attended if you found that a useful way to navigate the sessions, and would you recommend that, you know, a fellow KMer kind of use that to guide them through some of the recordings that they may want to listen to. And then, you know, those sessions specifically, if people have, you know, feedback or takeaways from those sessions. So who liked the track?
I liked the tracks. I thought it was a great idea. What I'd like them to implement next year is cloning capabilities so that we can attend more than one track.
Isn't that the truth?
I mean, it was just so much work to decide which one to go to.
Yeah, I realize as I'm looking at this list that I did not make it to all of them. I made it to quite a few, but not all of them.
Well, thankfully, they're recorded. The majority of them are recorded, so you can always go back. Yeah. I liked the track idea, I agree, but I was a little bummed that they separated out KM and innovation, because I think a lot of times those go hand in hand. So I would like to see in the future a merging of those two tracks. But again, I think the track idea is good, and that ILTA should continue with that.
Mm-hmm. I agree. This is Ginevra again. I agree with what you said. I think the track idea was excellent, but innovation is one of those areas that I think crosses all tracks, and it would be nice if they could plan the innovation sessions for a time when it wouldn't conflict with not only the KM track, but the other tracks as well. to almost slot them all in one time on each day. I don't know. I don't know how they do it.
Yeah, I know. it's a logistical nightmare.
Yeah, or I don't know. I mean, the innovation stuff was probably well attended, so maybe it could be done similar to the way that keynotes are, where there isn't really programming going on during those sessions. It really does cut across probably all of the tracks. As much as I'd like to say KM owns innovation, I think it's really one of those, just like when they were doing design workshops too, I think those have very broad appeal across different disciplines.
Well, I think that's actually a good point, Ginevra, that, you know, KM does tend to be, you know, multidisciplinary, to be involved in a lot of different initiatives in the firm, and particularly where it has to do with, kind of the intersection of technology and law. So a lot of innovation initiatives, even if the content is, you know, maybe by or directed towards people in other departments or not necessarily targeted towards KMers, I think there probably is a lot of interest on the KM side from that. And I guess, you know, to that point, that was, for those who were not at ILTACON, that was certainly the overarching theme of ILTACON, was innovation. You know, it was sort of formally there in how ILTA was positioning some of the sessions and the peer awards dinner, as well as this innovation track, but also it was just, you know, you could hear the word innovation in conversations, in multiple conversations as you walked down the hall. It was clearly what everyone was talking about this year at ILTACON.
And the innovation series talks were very well attended. You're right, Ginevra. They were standing room only a lot of times.
Yeah, and I do think quite a few of the KM sessions were very well attended as well. You know, New Frontiers in Enterprise Search, for example, is one of the sessions in the KM track. I went to that. It was Monday morning, and that was, I think, standing room only by the time I got there. You know, there's clearly some interest in reevaluating enterprise search. So, you know, for those of you who've been around for a while, I think that this was a pretty popular topic a few years ago, and you know, people may have addressed it in different ways at their firm, but now there's new technologies out there, or the technologies you implemented before are a little long in the tooth, or you may have, you know, you may have rethought some of what's important for your users. So there was clearly a lot of interest in the session around new frontiers in enterprise search.
Yeah, Gwen, selfishly, I did not attend that and desperately wanted to. And I'm wondering if you and some of the others who did would mind sharing your takeaways from that session.
Yeah, you know, some of it was learning a little bit about, you know, what some of the things are that are out there that people are looking at. And, you know, for a while there weren't a lot of options in enterprise search. There was kind of one main player, and there's more options now. So there was Rick Krasminski was there from Baker Donaldson, and he was talking about their implementation of moving to Handshake when they moved to NetDocs. He talked a bit about tagging, which was, you know, really interesting on, you know, I feel like we've been talking about that for a long time, and it hasn't always come to pass. So that was interesting that they're seeing, they're able to use that. There's a lot of, and then Simon Pekovnik was there from Raven, and he was talking about Insight, and, you know, some of the things that they can do with, like, clustering and auto-classification and name entity recognition. It's like a whole different world for enterprise search, and he was, you know, kind of showing us a few screenshots from that as well. There was, and I didn't catch where he was from. My notes, unfortunately, are pretty terrible. Todd Friedlich was from a smaller firm, and he was talking about Microsoft Q&A Maker as being kind of a low-tech way that they kind of, you know, use this Microsoft bot framework to, and they trained it to ID what they were looking for. So they kind of, you know, tried to derive the intent of what people might be looking for and then train a model for that. So, you know, his feedback on that was the technology was fairly, you know, low tech and inexpensive, but it's not trivial to develop that. But yet it wasn't complicated. It just is, you know, a significant effort. So it was a pretty interesting session. I would recommend if you're at all thinking about new search initiatives in your firm to listen to that session. I think there's also, besides, you know, specific tools and use cases, they all, you know, brought up a number of things around like the quality of your data and so forth that I think are going to be relevant, you know, regardless of the tool or how you're implementing this.
Gwen, you mentioned chatbots. So I went to the chatbot session. It's how chatbots are changing the way we work. And Microsoft Q&A Maker was talked about. But there was an interesting statistic that they threw up that 70% of business interactions will be with bots by 2025. That's what people are projecting. So it was a really, wow. Yeah, it was an interesting conversation about how intelligent chatbots are going to help with many areas, including internal training, like how to use a chatbot to assist with tool onboarding, and then Microsoft's work with their continuous training for their internal legal questions that they get from business units, and then other applications that they're using chatbots for. So I highly recommend that one as well. And I think you can look at that, listen to that recording, and think about it with the enterprise search ideas as well, because those two seem to go hand in hand.
Yeah, I thought it was an interesting concept of kind of tweaking the bot framework to use it as sort of a search tool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so those were, and the how chatbots are changing the way we work, that was under the innovation track. Anyone on the phone go to some of these KM or innovation track sessions that they want to share some takeaways on?
I went to, this is Ginevra again. Sorry, I'm talking a lot. I went to the innovation case studies. I think that was my favorite session because I really like hearing practical stories of how people get things done. And there were three different people who presented on different innovative projects that they had done. And what I found really good about it was all three of them, I apologize if there was a fourth I'm forgetting, but they presented it from the perspective of the problem that they were trying to solve, and then how they made the business case, what they did, and then the lessons learned. And that being the euphemism for, you know, the stuff that they would do different next time.
Mm-hmm.
So I find those kinds of sessions extremely helpful. And I would encourage people who didn't get a chance to attend that, I'm assuming it was recorded, to listen to that one. It was really valuable.
That was under the innovation track?
Yeah, I think so.
Was that the innovation case studies part 2 of 3?
Yeah, I just wrote innovation case studies. So
okay. Yeah, I think so. There's part 2 of 3 is showcase.
This is the one that I can tell you the presenter. There was the Mosler.
Yeah, it's legal innovation case studies with real impact.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry about that.
And I believe if you're looking in the recordings, they're organized by day. That was on Tuesday. So one of the sessions I did not make it to that I'm going to listen to the recording on was succeeding with document automation. Is anyone on the call go to that one and have some takeaways they can share?
Yes, I went to that one. It was all very interesting and a topic near and dear to my heart. I think it was 2 or 3 women on a panel with 1 guy. And that guy, if you have a chance to look at the recording, you ought to watch this guy. Because, I mean, it was really amusing to watch him get spun up on a topic where he was just, you know, really venting about the challenge of working with people in general. And you know, you could relate to everything he was saying, but it was just, it was an interesting venue in which to display that kind of emotion.
So that was already on my list of recordings to listen to, but now it's just
document automation. This may be, you know, something that I brought a bias to, you know, because it's my own thing I'm thinking a lot about, but that also seemed to be something that was, I was hearing a lot of chatter about, you know, not just related to that session, but just document automation generally. And, you know, particularly around kind of the support model for it.
Right.
It seems like a lot of people are really grappling with how do you have a successful document automation program and support it adequately, given that these, you know, these tools are complicated and doing these projects are complicated, but the payoff can be really great.
Right. There also needs to be some, I don't know if you would call it re-education or trying to reset expectations. Not every document that we produce in a law firm is a snowflake.
Yeah, right, exactly.
You know, they're just not. And I get some success when I'm pitching document automation to our internal clients. Think of it as a first draft. It's not intended to be the final thing you send to your client.
Right.
It's a first draft. It's a getting started, and you know at least that you've got all the variable information filled in the right places. You don't have to worry about taking out any notes or highlights or footnotes that people have left in there over time. And there's peace of mind. One of the most interesting comments that I've gotten back from a lawyer about the benefit of document automation, this was an immigration lawyer. He came back and I said, you know, I was asking him, did you save a lot of time? I just kept talking about how much time he was saving. And he said, well, yeah, I don't care about that as much as the peace of mind. I can sleep at night knowing that I haven't done a dupe and revise and had what he described to me as, he says, I've got a Dear John letter that is addressed to Sally. So it's just the way they create documents. Everybody's moving way too fast. They don't have to be that customized. Everyone has got to be individual because they're not to begin with the way they create their documents. But, you know, I think that's a big selling point that I know I've missed before because I focus too much on time savings and efficiency, but focusing on the quality of the document.
Yeah.
And considering it to be a first draft. It's not the end. We still need a human brain on this one.
Right. It's a first draft and you're not coding for 100%, right? We're trying to get 80% and then you can tweak that last 20%.
Yeah. You put in a little drafting note that says, okay, buddy, you can take it from here.
Right.
So shifting gears a little bit, another series that was, it wasn't a formal track, but there was a series around data analytics. So there were four sessions that were you know, kind of bundled together and all around data analytics topics. So data analytics in law, a primer, building and institutionalizing data analytics capabilities within legal, data analytics bootcamp blitz, and advanced data analytics in legal. And Stephen Lasters from Debevoise was the one who kind of organized this from the conference committee standpoint. And there was a lot of, people and attendees who are KM or KM adjacent. So there's clearly a lot of interest on the KM side in data and, you know, not just kind of the hardcore data science, but, you know, really thinking a little more critically about what is the data that's available in the firm and, you know, how can we be using that to solve other problems? Is there anyone on the phone who was able to attend the data analytics series? And I'll just add, there's another data one that was not part of this series, but you know, on the theme of data, leveraging technology to harness data and drive efficiency in your firm, which I highly recommend. That was with Meredith Williams Range and also included Bloomberg and Handshake on the panel as well. And talking about how you could bring data in from different research resources and couple it with firm data and enterprise search to surface a lot of information much more quickly and, much richer information that, could help from an experience management standpoint. It could help in pricing. It can help from, all sorts of things. It was, frankly, kind of a mind-blowing session.
Yeah, I highly recommend that one as well. I listened to it. I wasn't able to attend in person, but I listened to it since I've returned from ILTA. And Meredith's use case is really interesting. It's very thought-provoking. Mind-blowing, I think, is a good adjective for it. Just highly recommend it. The way that she was able to approach this problem and work with the vendors to solve it is really interesting.
I totally agree. This was one I was going to raise as well. The thing that I found most intriguing about it, and leave it to Meredith to be willing to speak up in this way. I give her a lot of credit, and I think we should all do the same. She talked about how, she told the vendors they have to, start to play nicely with the firms in terms of opening up their resources more so that we can do creative things like this. And she did encourage people in the audience to talk to their vendors and, tell them that they need them to be more willing to do this kind of thing, because they really can't keep their stuff locked down for us. We need to be able to combine it with our own stuff more seamlessly. So I thought that was my biggest takeaway, to really feel confident to push back with some of my vendors.
Yeah, I agree. And just to, kind of clarify what that was about, she negotiated with her research vendors on access to the data, under the premise that we're paying for this data. So don't make me, only access it through your platform, but let me use this data to integrate into, to index and integrate into my search results. And the result may take you back into the platform, but it's almost using enterprise search as a way to navigate for people to find the source, rather than, the current way is really we ask people to figure out the source first and then go to the right place and then use that, the search tools within that platform or the navigation of that platform. So that was pretty interesting. And I'll say I went to that session with someone from our library and someone from our marketing department, and one of them got the chills and the other one had goosebumps.
Yeah, I think Meredith was calling it, she told the vendor she wanted to unwrap the candy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that one's highly recommended. That was on Thursday. If you are browsing through the recordings, and as I said, they're organized in folders by day. So what other sessions did people go to that, now that we're a couple weeks out from ILTACON are still kind of lingering with you that made an impact on you, or some takeaways that you've been able to apply? Don't be shy, folks. Just hit that little mute thing and you can join the conversation.
Well, can I ask a question?
Yeah.
I'm curious what people thought of, they cut back on the number of sessions this year in response to, people saying there was just too much going on. I'm just curious how people felt about that, if they liked that approach or would prefer to go back to more sessions.
From my perspective, I'll say, both that I'm not sure I fully noticed that there were fewer sessions, and I also kind of liked it. It always takes me quite a long time to prepare for ILTACON, to, kind of decide what I'm, what my goals are and who I need to meet with and how to schedule everything and the sessions to go to. And it felt like, I don't know if I'm getting better at it or it didn't quite take as long. So maybe it's because there were fewer sessions. I also thought the sessions were, even though they were, there might've been fewer, I think there was a lot of thought put into the sessions and how they relate to each other. So there may have been less duplication than we've sometimes seen in the past. And there was a lot more of kind of these series that are, around a related topic. So in some cases they were just kind of different takes on a similar topic, and other times they were, kind of building on it. I mean, even Even things that weren't formally billed as a series, like experience management, for example, I went to two sessions around experience management, and one of them was a lot more about like planning, the planning stage of it, how to set yourself up for a successful implementation, you know, based on how you evaluate things from the get-go. And then the other session was more on the implementation side. So that was a nice, you know, kind of two sides of the coin on that.
I also don't think I noticed that there were fewer sessions. Maybe it seemed like a little bit less. I liked the format this year. I thought it was a good number of sessions. I still need to go back and watch a lot that I wasn't able to make it to in person. It did seem like I had a little bit more time to talk to folks in between sessions and outside of sessions, which is a good and a bad thing, because then I just keep talking and I don't make it to places that I need to be on time. But I always think that that's one of the better opportunities at ILTACON, is just the conversations that you get to have in between planned events. So if ILTA wants to continue with this amount of sessions, I think that that could help foster those conversations.
I think also some of the breaks were a little longer than they have been in the past, particularly when it was, you know, supposed to be an exhibit hall break. So some of those were an hour and a half, and I feel like that was a little bit more time for me to actually get done what I needed to get done in the exhibit hall.
Those long breaks were helpful, especially if you're a speaker and you need to prep for a session with your panel. Those usually it's during those time slots, which is really helpful.
It also provided more access to candy.
More access to candy. So how about the rest of you? Did you think the format with the number of sessions worked for you? And again, just, you know, any sessions you want to throw out there that you would recommend that your peers seek out the recording to listen to?
This is Kathy. I like the format. There's still way more sessions than I can possibly attend. Right. And I get very greedy. So those are the ones I just have to make myself sit down and watch the recordings. Uh-huh. I would like to give a shout out for the Leading Through a Crisis.
Oh, I didn't make it to that one.
That was Joy Heath.
Uh-huh.
Unitera Microsystems. She did a great job. I had no idea she had been through so many really big crises. She had lots of really good practical tips on what to do in a crisis, you know, starting with plan for it. You know, ahead of time, plan for the worst case, you know, so that you're ready. And it validated a lot of, you know, what I've done in the past. So that was nice. And I think the best part of it is that she reminded us that we're all human and we need to make sure that we don't forget about treating each other well.
Huh.
It was really good.
So that one was called Leading Through a Crisis, and it was on Tuesday.
I think it was Wednesday.
It's Tuesday. I've got the session search up here.
Got it. Got it. Yeah, so Leading Through a Crisis.
Yeah.
It was very good.
Great.
Touchy-feely stuff, not technical. Oh, you know, there were a lot of technical examples in terms of, you know, what you have to think about and plan for and be creative when you're trying to deal with a crisis that you could have never have expected.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, I really liked it.
Yeah, great. Any other sessions that people want to recommend to their peers?
I have a couple that I can throw out there that I found interesting. This was along the innovation theme. It was called Emerging Challenges to Law Firm Dominance, Trends in Legal Service Providers, Competition, and Capacity. So it's a lengthy title. It was a good panel. They had folks from ORIC, Osler, Norton Rose Fulbright, Fenwick, and I forget who the moderator was, but it was interesting to hear what other firms and legal departments are doing. It's a wide range of programs and initiatives that they're doing to foster innovation and sort of the output that they're experiencing out of that. So I would definitely recommend that one.
Great.
And the best quote of all the panels came from that one. And it was the guy from ORIC, I think his name is Daryl. And he said, if you're not process mapping, you're not ready for technology.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I love that.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow, I would like to...
Say that again. Say that again.
If you're not process mapping, you are not ready for technology.
I would like to hang that on my wall.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. So, you know, speaking of some of those opportunities to connect with your peers, One of the other changes this year was these collaboration sessions. So in the past at ElTacon, there's been communities of interest on Sunday afternoon when people arrive, where there's, you know, kind of less formal sessions for people in, you know, kind of shared interest groups. And so there's always been a knowledge management one. And, you know, there's a lot of interest in them because this is, you know, a big reason we go to ElTacon is to connect with our peers. So this year they took a number of these, you know, communities and kind of created these collaboration series around them. So instead of the one on Sunday this year, there were three. There was the Sunday afternoon one, Monday afternoon, and then Thursday at the very end of conference, we all got back together to talk about takeaways. So for this one, Mary Abraham facilitated on Sunday and Monday, and I pitched in a little bit with her on Monday and did the Thursday session. And, you know, each one was a little bit different, but the idea was to kind of get people from the KM community, you know, together in a, you know, sort of lightly facilitated format to allow some conversation and sharing. So for those of you who were able to attend some of those, and I believe the last one on Thursday with the takeaways was recorded. And it's, you know, that might be something you want to kind of run in the background while you're eating lunch or something. I think you'll find some good takeaways on that. For that one, we actually went around the room and everyone who was there introduced themselves and, shared some of the takeaways from ElTacon. So there's a lot of, you know, it's not kind of in a neat format like a panel presentation, but, there's a lot of little nuggets, within that conversation. So those of you who are there, what did you think about it? And did it give you more opportunities to network or some key takeaways?
I thought it was great. I every year feel like I wish that the KM reception could go on for like 5 hours. I save up all my questions for my colleagues. You know, issues I'm having that I want to bounce off of them and hear what they're doing or how they've dealt with it. And I, you know, I found this breaking it into these three segments really gave much more opportunity to do that. If there's a way to expand it even further, that would be great.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that I wasn't at the Sunday one, but I think the Sunday one was a little bit more of a, you know, like a roundtable format. And Monday and Thursday ones, we were in kind of a classroom style room. And that's one thing I might have liked is being in a room or a location that allowed for a little bit more kind of small groups and mingling, because those conversations are fabulous.
Yeah, I would want to change the venue, but I think the content of our conversations were fantastic. But I think a change in environment could actually foster more and more in-depth conversation.
Mm-hmm. So one thing we did in the Monday session that was kind of fun is ILTA's got this app that you can use to submit questions or topics and then, you know, to kind of crowdsource them. And then you could see what other people have submitted and then vote things up or down.
Right.
And so we, you know, we could kind of see which topic people or which question people were most interested in hearing from the group on. So that was really a great way to kind of get the, even in that classroom setting, to kind of get the, gauge the interest of the group and, you know, start discussing some of these questions as a group that were of interest to a large portion. So that was
a very cool experience.
Yeah, I like that. I like that app, that voted up app. Yeah. And unfortunately, I don't remember off the top of my head the questions we talked about, except for cut the KM crap.
Yeah.
Everyone was very inspired by the Monday keynote with the cut the crap. So we're trying to find out if you ask people at your firm about, you know, if they had a cut the KM crap committee, what would they want to get rid of or what would you want to get rid of? So that was kind of fun. You know, I'll say one takeaway in the Thursday session that, you know, kind of made an impression on me, was, you know, we're talking about document automation being a sort of sleeper hot topic at ElTacon. one of the vendors had a user group breakfast that week, and you know, someone shared as her takeaway was just hearing from the people at that user group, and this was around that issue of support, that the room was unanimous in that to have a successful document automation program, you had to have dedicated single point of contact support.
Yes. Yes. So this is something near and dear to our hearts at Perkins that we are addressing currently. And on the one side, it was nice to hear that we're not the only ones who are experiencing this. But on the other hand, you know, I think that there's sort of opportunity here as an industry to come up with some best practices that we can lean on each other, at least to talk to each other informally about how you're handling this, because it seems to be a very prevalent and important issue.
Yeah, and I think there was another, I can't remember what it was, but I think there was another thing where someone, you know, just hearing the feedback from the room and being able to go back to your firm and say, you know, I was in the room with my peers and they were unanimous on X.
Right.
Even though we may know that deep in our hearts, you know, having that feedback from the peer group is really valuable. So what, so anyone else attend the collaboration sessions and have anything specific that you gained from it that is, you're putting into practice? All right. Well, we will, we've got one more sort of topic of conversation here, but we'll wrap up on the ILTACON portion. You know, for me personally, this was my, I think, 9th ILTACON, and I still find it an incredibly valuable experience from the educational standpoint, the networking standpoint, and being able to go through the exhibit hall and you know, connect with vendors and see what they've been working on, you know, have meetings with them to hear about their roadmaps. So, you know, this one was no different in that regard. And if anything, I feel like I just got a huge amount out of this ILTACON. It was really, really well done.
Yeah, I'll echo that. This was my 3rd ILTACON, and, you know, each ILTACON that I go to seems to be better than the last. I just think it's a really good learning opportunity. For many different types of learning. So you've got your sessions, you also have your informal conversations with your peers, you have the collaboration sessions, but then you also get to talk to vendors and see what people are working on and what tools are on the market right now, and then the conversations that flow from there. So I really like the conference. I hope that it keeps getting better and keeps improving, and especially the knowledge management and innovation tracks. I'm looking forward to what they have for the year ahead.
Yeah, and I've already had a couple of calls with peers after ILTACON with kind of, you know, making the connection that we're working on something similar, or it's just, you know, sort of reinvigorating the spirit of community at ILTACON. So you know, we kind of realize we're working on the same problem and get on the phone and you know, share some of our, I guess, lessons learned is the euphemism. So it was great. And then, you know, I'll leave you with a piece of, you know, food for thought. If you are able to attend ILTACON next year, and I hope you are, it's in Orlando in August. One of the attendees had suggested, with respect to scheduling, which is always very difficult at ILTACON with trying to balance, you know, all of these different types of meetings and sessions that you're trying to have, as well as, you know, staying hydrated and eating well. It's pretty challenging. There's a lot going on. And this person's suggestion was to that this year she scheduled all of her meetings on one day. She kind of looked at the sessions, picked the ones she wanted to go to, picked a day that had the least sessions that were directly of interest to her. She decided she would watch those on the recording, and she used that day to schedule all of her meetings with, you know, with vendors and other folks. And she said it made for a less hectic ILTA than she's had before. She felt like she wasn't, you know, kind of running late to every single meeting this time around. So I thought that was a really great piece of advice.
I thought that was good advice too. I would also be interested to hear from other folks if you have found a strategy for attending and surviving ILTACON that works for you. I'm sure everyone would love to hear how you do it and get some ideas from you. So feel free to either speak up or you know, email afterwards, because I'm very curious about that, because it is a lot of information, and it can be really easy to get caught up in it all and not take care of your priorities.
So just before we wrap up here, I did want to make an announcement about the KM white paper. So the KM white paper is something that we have traditionally done on an annual basis. It's an ILTA publication that has articles of interest to people in knowledge management. Historically, it's been published, you know, kind of more in the summertime. So we're a little late this year on the publication cycle. But we are going to try and publish one this year in 2018. So we are asking for your help. I know Sharon Lee sent an email to the e-groups this morning. If you haven't seen that, be sure to take a look at that. There's some links in there to like last year's white paper if you want to get an idea of what it is. But we're looking for ideas for articles as well as people who are interested in writing. So there is a link in Sharon's email that allows you to submit an article idea or even a draft for consideration. And, you know, you don't have to commit to writing something to submit an idea. You can submit an idea, and if it's something that seems, you know, like this is really great, the community is going to be interested in reading an article on that, the content coordinating team will go out and try to find people who can write on that topic. And then if you're interested in authoring an article yourself, maybe one that you submit an idea for, we welcome authors as well, too. So this year, the draft submission deadline is October 15th. That is coming up pretty quickly. So, best to start thinking quickly about your ideas and if you want to write. The article length is about 1,500 to 2,500 words. So this is a pretty heavy writing group. So I think that's pretty manageable for most of us. And then there's a link in Sharon's email as well to the publishing guidelines for more information.
So, Gwen? For the past, I think, 5 years, I was the editor, and Sharon and I are actually meeting right after this call.
Oh, great.
Typically, we tried to have a theme for each issue. Sometimes it was loose, sometimes it was very tight. And I'm just wondering if there anyone on the call, or you can certainly follow up later with an email to Sharon, but if anyone has something that you would like to see this year's kind of theme be that ties together some of the articles.
Well, certainly if ILTACON is any indication, innovation is a key theme for people in all disciplines. I feel like there's also a lot of, the recessions around it, people were talking about it with kind of revisiting some of the, you know, classic KM with new thinking, new technology, new processes. So it seems like there's some things that, you know, were very, you know, kind of popular in KM a few years ago, maybe ebbed for a while, that people are revisiting. So revisiting the hits or thinking about, you know, kind of new ways to use, you know, data seems to be a popular theme, like kind of new ways to kind of leverage what you've got. I don't know if any of those are helpful as a theme for a whole.
Keeping it practical.
Yes.
So a lot of times lawyers embracing technology, they always want to go for the big glitzy, sexy stuff, but you know, they don't necessarily embrace things that they can do every day to make their lives easier. They just miss it completely.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if you can make articles out of that, but just an observation.
Great ideas.
Thank you. I know in the chat box, Nicole included the links to the topic submission and the full article submission. And again, Sharon posted to the e-groups this morning. So if you haven't gotten that email or the digest, you can go into the ILTA website and to the e-groups to find that email. But keep that in mind. We would love to hear from all of you. And I know there's a lot of great things going on. So this could be a great forum to be a published author and share your thinking on a topic of interest to the community. Well, with that, I think we will wrap up our call. So thank you, everybody, for joining. You should have an evaluation that popped up on the screen. Please be sure to fill that out. And We do these roundtables on a quarterly basis. We are always open to ideas of things that you want to talk about. We have a committee that, you know, kind of comes up with our topic for the next meeting. It supplies the moderators. But, you know, we are absolutely interested in ideas from the group. All right. Thank you, everyone.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you both.
Thank you very much.
Bye now. Have a great day.
Thank you.